Hey, good morning, Hills family. How we doing? All right. Hey, it's good to be here. We got a great day ahead of us. We got a lot of people getting baptized. So I was told, be very quick, Pastor. They're already playing the wrap it up music. Hear it? So I'm gonna tell you what we're doing today and why we do it, if that makes sense. And then, I tell people every week, go be the church. So sometimes people, everyone kind of defines that differently, but I want you to understand what I mean when I tell you to go be the church. The Bible says this, that when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, when you've made that decision, it's a personal decision, but it's also a public decision. And the Bible, a lot of times, the New Testament uses the illustration of marriage, actually, throughout it to explain the gospel, right? That the church, who's the church? We are the bride of Christ, the Bible says, right? And there's this element that when you get married, one, it's your choice that you're deciding to get married, but then what you are doing is you are deciding to make a whole new entity. In the 21st century, typical modern marriage is two individuals come together and they stay individuals and I gotta be me kind of thing. And that's not how it was designed. See, it was designed that the two would come together and become one, that there's a oneness, that there's something happening, that you're joining. There's a new birth almost, a new family that has started. We have some friends that got married last night, right? It's a new family that is being started. They've left their mother and father's house and they're starting something new. Baptism is a lot like that wedding, if that makes sense. And when I tell you, go be the church, when you have made that decision to be a follower of Jesus, you don't go to a church anymore. You are the church. You're part of the body of Christ. And I was in a coffee shop this week, and I overheard someone who goes to this church. They were in there, and I overheard, I was eavesdropping, I know. I'm everywhere. I have cameras in your house, all that, yeah. I was listening to this conversation this person was having with a homeless man in the coffee shop. And this homeless man was sharing kind of his struggle with addiction. And this guy was just so compassionate, but not enabling. Just loving the guy, just asking him questions, treating him like a human. Well, tell me about your family. He's telling him about his grandkids and his kids. And he's, tell me about your life. Tell me about your faith. And just letting this man talk to him. He's just being the church, just loving this guy right where he's at. He wasn't trying to fix him. He wasn't a project to him. He was just like, I'm just being Jesus to this guy right now. And they started talking about the guy's addiction and struggle. And, I'm sitting at my table eavesdropping and praying for him. Like, Lord, give him the right words. And he just asked the guy, he goes, hey, do you have a good reason to stop drinking? And the guy paused and he was kind of, I don't know. And the guy goes, I think you do. I think you have several good reasons. And the man was like, what are you talking about? And this guy, Clovis Hills guy, just started rattling off the guy's grandkid's name. So-and-so, 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 that's your reason. And the guy was like, oh, I'm gonna have to think about that. That's really good. And then, they talked about life a little more and the conversation ended and they kind of went their ways. And as the homeless guy kind of went his way, I turned around, I looked at the guy, I go, way to be the church, bro, kind of thing. Because he was being the church. He was just being Jesus with skin on. And when I tell you, go be the church, all I'm asking you to do is go be a Christian somewhere. Follow Jesus. Take him. Don't leave him in these doors. Take him out where you go, right? So that's just a guy being in the church. It was beautiful. You know, he's not a pastor. He's not, you know, classically trained in ministry. He was just being a dude. And baptism, there's three things about baptism that we're going to do today. I want to talk to you about the purpose of it, the power, and the practice. So the purpose of baptism, really quick, in the book of Romans, I want to read this to you. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So what the writer of Romans is talking about here is that when you get baptized, you actually are taking on a whole new identity. And we live in a world right now where people are crazy about their identity. And if you're really honest about how human beings work, we have all kinds of identities, right? I am a husband to Kelly. I am a father to my three kids. I am a pastor to a bunch of you. I am a friend to some people. I'm an enemy to some people. I'm a brokenhearted Chargers fan. I'm a brokenhearted Padres fan, always nipping at the Dodgers' heels. Right? I have all of these different identities in me. I am heterosexual. I'm a man. I don't go by pronouns, though. I do adjectives. Tall, dark, handsome, funny, witty. So, like, there's all these identities. And our culture, like, they think having some identity, whether it's a sexual identity or a political identity or a gender identity or any of that, if they make that the pronounced thing, the big thing in their life, that they will find happiness and meaning. And I want you to think about how our culture is doing right now. It's not doing well. We're the most depressed people in human history, with the most wealth, with the most education. And here's why. Because every human being was made by God. You were made by your creator, and you were made to, your primary relationship was to be a child of the Most High God. That's supposed to go first, and then all the others fall underneath it. And then they all kneel to that God. I yield all my relationships to that God. I'm not perfect at it. I'm not good at it, but that's how it was supposed to work. And baptism is that initiation into the family of God. And I like to use the analogy of a gotcha day. Those of you that have adopted children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a moment where there's a day when all the legal mumbo jumbo is done with the adoption, and you go before the judge and he declares that child now in your family, right? And when he does that and he hits the gavel, now legally that child is part of that family. So here's what I want you to understand. Baptism is a symbol. It serves as you putting the old you under and the new you. When you come out of the water, you are now part of the family of God. You have a new identity. You are a child of Jesus Christ, that he's died for you, he's forgiven you, that you now, that this is my primary identity, is I am a child of God. So that's what baptism, that's the purpose of baptism. And we all need to have kind of those moments in our life, those kind of like public moments where you say, no, I'm in. See, the Bible even says in Romans chapter 10, it says that if you believe in your heart, you hear me use this verse every week, and I hope, the reason I use it every week is I hope at some point, like, you're able to recite it. That if you believe in your heart and you confess with your, that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. So faith isn't something that's just deeply personal like the world tells you. What the Bible says, what God says is faith is something that usually starts here. It journeys here, but it's not finished till you make that declaration. So when people get in the water, we ask them, Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Tell the church. Tell the family. They say yes. And then we say, what is your good confession? And they say, Jesus is Lord. And baptism is an act of obedience. That's the second part, right? We had the purpose, the power. I don't know if you realize this, but when you obey God, there's nothing more that pleases God. Those of you that are parents, you know how that works. You know when you see your kids doing something right and you didn't tell them to do it? When my kids do wrong things, which they do all the time, I always say, well, Kelly, look at your kids. They just don't know the right thing. You should teach them. But they're doing something right. I'm like, did you see my son? Did you see my daughter? See, there's nothing that pleases a parent more than when their children obey him. It's the same way with your heavenly Father. And baptism is that act of obedience. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us Christians, he gave us a mission to do. That the church, our mission in Matthew 28, he said, go therefore and make disciples. The whole point was make new disciples. It wasn't turn like good Methodists into Baptists. It wasn't like turn people from the Wellians into Clovis Hellions. It wasn't that. It wasn't transfer from church to church. It wasn't any of that. It was go make new disciples. And then it says, baptizing them. That was the next thing. After you've told them about Jesus and they've said yes, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'll be with you. So that's our church's mission, is we go make new disciples, we baptize them, and then we teach them to obey. And some of you, you've been a Christian for a long time. That learning to obey takes a while, doesn't it? Can I get an amen from all the messed up people in the room? Me too. Listen. So it's that act of obedience that whenever someone gave their life to Christ, they consciously chose to do that. The next step in the Bible was they got in the water and they declared it with their mouth, I'm with Jesus. Right? If you get married, you stand before people and you say, I was this person, but now I'm coming together with this person and we're becoming something new. That's what you do when you get baptized, and it pleases God. As a matter of fact, in the book of Matthew, Jesus got baptized. He didn't need to get baptized, but he did it. And they were like, John the Baptist was like, you should be baptizing me. I don't need to baptize you. And Jesus just said, listen, I'm just obeying the Father. And he gets in the water, he gets baptized. And the Bible says in Matthew that when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended down like a dove, and there was an audible voice they heard that said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So that when you take that simple step of baptism, it pleases God. And for some of you, I want you to understand something. If you're a new Christian, you may be like, I don't know if I can like get my hair wet in front of this many people. I get that. It's a little awkward. It's a little embarrassing. But I want you to understand something. If you can't get your hair wet in front of 500 people, Jesus is going to ask you to do way harder things in your life. And if you can't do that simple one, what makes you think you're going to be able to do the others? And faith is exponential. When you take steps of faith and steps of obedience, God grows it. So some of you, I think probably today's the day you're like, yeah, I got to do this. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus and you haven't got baptized, I'm going to challenge you. You can do this. Like, we have a bunch of people planned to get baptized, but you can just come get baptized in your clothes, and I will get in my clothes too, just so you don't look silly, if that makes sense. I'll baptize you in my clothes. I'm Sean the Baptist. I've done way stupider things to see people obey Jesus. So, if that's you, when we call for all the baptizees, just come down. Just come down, talk to our baptism team. They're in the front rows right here and over here. And you can just say, hey, I want to get baptized, and they'll hook you up, okay? Last thing. the book of Timothy. See, Timothy was this young pastor, and he had a mentor named Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Paul writes him these two letters in the Bible. It's where we have 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. So he writes Timothy in 1 Timothy, and he's reminding Timothy at the end, like, hey, stay strong. Don't quit. And he references something that I think is really powerful about baptism and how baptism is that declaration with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? It's that thing that it's you put your faith in Jesus, but there's something about faith and works when they come together, it really ignites faith. And he's reminding him. And in verse 16, which I'm actually verse 12, I apologize. He says, fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. Take hold of eternal life, right? It's yours. Take hold of it. Take hold of eternal life, which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. See, one of the things we ask people, and it's an ancient tradition, Christians have done this for years, when you get in the water, we ask you, have you given your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And, you know, the answer is yes. If you get in the water and you say no, we'll be like, well, that's cool, get out. Baptism's not for you yet, it's okay, there's not a problem. And then after you say yes, we ask, and we do this for a specific reason, because we want you to tell the church, what is your good confession? And the answer is Jesus is Lord. And what I love is when we do this, you see people's personality come out, right? Because there's some people that they're, you know, this is like, it took a lot for them to get in front of this many people and get baptized. That's why we cheer everyone on, right? This is their day. So, that, you know, and they're like, Jesus is Lord? Because they're scared. And then there's some people, they're like, Jesus is Lord! You know, it's one of those. And then every now and then, you get someone who they, like, you can just tell, like, God has rescued them. And it's almost like a William Wallace freedom. Jesus is Lord. And that's a beautiful thing, too. All of them are beautiful because they're all that same expression. So whether you yell it or whimper it, you've confessed it with your mouth. It is your good confession. So that's what we do here. Last thing. Some of you, today's a day you actually make a decision to follow Jesus. The Bible says this. The Bible says that all human beings, including this pastor, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what that means is when I disobeyed God, which we all do, I was separated from God for eternity. I couldn't have a relationship with the living God. I was not part of God's family. And the Bible says the wages of my sin, in Romans, it says the wages of my sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he's given them the right to become children of God. So there was a point in my life where, like, I grew up going to church and I knew about Jesus and I knew the Bible and I had some reverence for it, but, like, it just was never a real thing. And I just remember as a young man, I was on a hotel bed in Minneapolis, Minnesota, sitting on the edge of it. And I just remembered telling God, Jesus, okay, Lord, I'm in. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how to do that, but I'm in. I'm probably not going to do it well, but I'm in. And that was the moment I stopped playing games with God. You have to make that decision at some point in your life. You have to receive Christ. That was the day I received Christ. God will let you decide yes or no, but I always try and remind people, maybe is no. until it's yes. Maybe is no until it's yes. And Jesus said this in Revelation 3:20. He said it to some Christians in Laodicea, but the concept rings true no matter what. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone listens, I will come in and dine with them." What that meant was Jesus was trying to say, I want to have a relationship with you. In the ancient world, if you went to someone's house to eat, it meant you were intimate, that you were close, that you were family, that you were all of that. And the God of the universe stands at the door of your life saying, I want you. I want a relationship with you. I want to give you purpose. I want to give you meaning. I know you've been living life for yourself, but I have a way for you, a better way for you. I have a plan for your life. And would you trust my plan over yours? And those that have the courage to open their heart and lay down their way and just in faith take up Jesus's way, the Bible says you've received him. And some of you, that's your day today. So I want to encourage you to do that. In a moment, we're going to pray. If you've never received Christ before or you've been playing games, God is not mad at you. He is crazy about you, and he is here today calling you to him to make a courageous decision. So let's just bow our heads. Let's all pray.